Well, thank you for coming this morning and spending your Sunday morning with us. If you're visiting, we're especially glad that you're with us this morning and trust that God will encourage you as we look into His Word this morning. The title of our message today is this: What is your favorite flavor? What is your favorite flavor? We're looking at the life of Peter. Peter, we first find him just minding his own business. He's working for his dad as a fisherman. Yet the moment he comes to Christ, Jesus begins to do a work in his heart and life. So much so that we're still talking about Peter today on September 11th, 2019. Yeah, it is August. Thank you very much. That too. But we'll be talking about him on September 11th, 2019 as well. But you're right, August 11th, 2019, thousands of years after his death. You know, when we're living in a time when there's many choices to make, more choices today than at any other time in human history. Think about it. How many shampoos do you think Eve had to choose from? Right? King David, how many brands of chariots do you think he looked at before he says, I want that one for my army? Or Abraham Lincoln, how many ticket venues did he go to before he ended up buying his tickets for Ford Theater? How many TV stations did our grandparents watch when TV first came out? Yet today, there are thousands of shampoos to choose from. We no longer call them chariots, but today you can buy an American car, a European car, a Russian car, a Japanese car, smart cars, or if you want to, you can even buy my 2007 Dodge minivan. I know, don't laugh. They don't make them anymore. Yeah, no, that's not it. But you can have it. TV today, man, with satellite TV, you have hundreds of TV stations to watch. And tickets? Well, just go to the internet and you have limitless sources of ways to buy your tickets for events. How many of you are old enough to remember this? Yeah, yeah. How many of you young enough that you've never seen a Howard Johnson's? How many of you are so young you have never even heard of a Howard? Yeah, some of you. I see some of those hands. Guy's lying, but the rest of you are probably telling the truth. When I was a kid, you went to Howard Johnson's because they had many flavors of ice cream, probably more than anyone else. Today, well, we might go to Baskin Robbins for one of their 31 different flavors of ice cream. As a child, I would go to Howard Johnson's and order my favorite flavor of ice cream: cherry vanilla. You know how hard it is to find today in a store? It's so popular, I think, that they don't sell it anymore. They can't keep up with the demand. But if you really wanted to go, Laura, you would like this. If you really wanted to go on the wild side when you went to Howard Johnson's, you could order cherry vanilla, and on top of that, you could put coconut. You could, no, it would be. Or Dan Ward, you could put your rum raisin on top of it. You could just put different flavors, as many flavors as you want. Yeah, you could. We digress. Choices. Choices. Sadly to say, we are living in a time when people think that there are also many different choices of truth. Think about it. Just in America alone, how many different churches and different denominations are there? Of all those different flavors, how many of you think would say that they have the corner on what you and I would say biblical truth, or what many would say would be religious truth? That's what I want to look at this morning. So turn to your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Take your personal copy of your Bible. If you're not sure what John is, the book of, it's in the New Testament. You go from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 6. Let me give you a backdrop. As you turn into John chapter 6, let me give you a backdrop on where we find Peter today. Jesus was becoming very popular because of his miracles. The miracles that he was performing all over Judea or Galilee. And early in chapter 6, we read about Jesus feeding 5,000 people. Now, people were impressed. Matter of fact, look, drop down to verse 14 with me. Verse 14 says, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world. Now, Jesus being God also knew their thoughts. Look at verse 15. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. These people were so impressed with Jesus that they wanted to make him king. And they wanted to make him king so that they would never, ever, ever run out of food. Now, think about this. How popular would your pastor be if people in Barnstead realized that I could give them a free, endless buffet for the rest of their lives? Well, you know what? That is very true. I have nothing to do with that, but you're exactly right. And wait until you go downstairs today. You'll be more amazed. But anyway, again, I'm digressing. So people loved Jesus for what he could do for them. But they were not always happy with what he said to them. Matter of fact, drop down to verse 44 with me of chapter 6. And it says this, Jesus is speaking, and he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last. If that wasn't bad enough, look at verse 51. Jesus continues, and he says this, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, will give for the life, for the life of the world. The Jews respond to Jesus' teaching. Look at verse 52. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And instead of trying to accommodate them, Jesus makes it even worse. Look at verse 53. It says, and Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, we don't have time to discuss all that, maybe at a different time, but we want to kind of set the stage for where Peter is this morning. So drop down to verse 65 with me. Again, it says, verse 65, Jesus is speaking. He said, he went on to say, this is why I told you that no one could come to me unless the Father has enabled him. And then verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. These followers of Christ were not very happy with him. Matter of fact, they left him. Which brings us to where we find Peter today. So our main text this morning, follow me as I read it, will be verses 67 to 69 of chapter 6. Verse 67. Jesus is speaking. He says, you do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter. Now, we know Simon's pretty impetuous, right? So who speaks up first? Peter does. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, we do know for a fact that Jesus knew the answer to the question that he just asked his disciples. How do we know that? We know it from the context. Look at verse 70. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Jesus knew what the 12 would do, but he still wanted them to make that choice. Because he is God, Jesus also knows the choices you're going to make the rest of today, the choices you're going to make for the rest of your life. But he leaves that choice up to us. So my encouragement to you this morning is this: choose well. Choose well. Because although Jesus allows us to choose our sins, Jesus does not allow us to choose the consequences of our sins. Please know that it hurt Jesus to see all these disciples leave him. It hurt Jesus to know that people only wanted him for what he could do for them physically. They were not interested in what he could do for them spiritually. And how do I know that? Because when that happens, it hurts me. I'm created in the image of God. Jesus is created in the image of God. It hurts God when these things happen. As your pastor, it hurts Judy and I when people leave. I can show you handwritten cards and letters or emails from people that promised to be our friends forever. They were thanking us for how God had used us in their lives, only to walk out of our lives, never wanting to be with us again. To this day, there are still people that will actively, aggressively try to avoid us. And for many of them, we still have no idea why. I remember the first person that left our church after we arrived. And I don't think I was being arrogant. I think I was just being honest. They left. I don't even remember if they told us they were leaving or not, but they were gone. And my first thought was this: how could they not like me? And then I thought, well, how can they not like Judy? Why would anyone want to leave our little church? Yet over the years, it's happened way too often. People become consumers. And as long as they are getting what they think they need, they will stay and continue to consume. When Scripture or when the Holy Spirit or some person's act becomes harder to take than what they're consuming, then people leave. And it was the same with Jesus. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They just wanted to know what he could do. So Jesus asked the question to the disciples: are you going to leave me too? Yeah. Simon Peter responds by saying this. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Peter says, where are we going to go, Lord? Go with the Pharisees? Back to our old Jewish ways? Surely we can't follow those other disciples. Peter then states why there is no one else to go to. And if you take a note, this is our first point. Peter says to Jesus, you have the truth. You have the truth. Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. Peter knew that there were not many flavors of truth. There were no flavor of the month club. There was only one truth, and Jesus had it. It's no different today. Contrary to even what the Pope says, you cannot follow the path of Islam and end up with God. You cannot, because these paths are opposed to each other. Their truths, and I put truths in quotes, contradict each other. Did you know that Buddha didn't even believe in a God. Hindus, now they're totally different. Not only do they believe there is a God, they believe in 330 million gods. You cannot mix these flavors of truth and be considered rational. Peter knew that if he was going to stay with Jesus, that he had to say no to every other religion, sect, and cult. You would have never seen this on the back of Peter's donkey. No coexist bumper stickers. And when you think about it, how can you coexist if you believe you have the truth? You can't with truth. Not only does Peter believe that Jesus has the truth, Peter believes that Jesus knows how to find eternal life. Now, this eternal life that we're talking about this morning is far beyond cultural. This eternal life is more than eternal life just for those that live in Israel. It is eternal life for the Muslim countries. It's eternal life for the Hindu countries. It's for the Russian and French-speaking countries. It's for China, for North and South America. This eternal life is for the whole planet. Unlike Baskin-Robbins, there is no 31 flavors of eternal life. There's only one. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "There is no other way to God." And Peter knew it. That's why Peter asked the question, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" A number of us have had opportunities to travel to other countries. Judy and I have been to quite a few countries, and no matter what country we've been to, this fact is always true. You might want to write it down. 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, no kidding. That's right. Puerto Rico, it's 2 + 2 = 4. America, it's 2 + 2. Any country you go to, this truth never changes. Each month, our church supports 13 different missionaries around the world. But it doesn't matter what country you go to, eternal life always equals Jesus. Eternal life always equals Jesus. Can we shut the recorder off just a sec? Thanks. Not only does Peter believe that Jesus has the truth, not only does Peter believe that Jesus knows the way to eternal life, Peter believes and knows that Jesus is, number two, the Messiah. He knows that he's the Messiah. Look at verse 69 again with me. Peter says this, "We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, we discussed last week what it meant to be the Messiah, but nevertheless, Peter knew that Jesus was God. Now, how did he know that? Well, he knows that by his miracles. His miracles. Peter saw many miracles. You say, "Pastor, how do we know that?" Well, I'm glad you asked, because just this week, they came across this artifact through a dig in Israel. They came across this artifact of a video that Peter had put together about Jesus healing the blind man. Peter also watched as Jesus turned water into wine in John chapter 2. Peter saw the greatest miracle of all, many Samaritans coming to Christ in John chapter 4. And let me just say this morning. We got people, all kinds of people looking for miracles. Let me tell you, the greatest miracle that you'll ever experience is when you come into a personal relationship with God. When God takes darkness and turns it into life. But he saw these Samaritans come to Christ. In chapter 5, Peter watches Jesus tell a man who had been an invalid for 38 years to pick up his mat and walk. And he did. We already looked in chapter 6 as Jesus fed thousands of people with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So Peter saw Jesus do miracles that confirmed that Jesus was everything he claimed to be. But Peter also knew that Jesus was God because, lastly, his consistency. His consistency. Everything that Jesus taught about salvation was in stark contrast to anything that was being taught or anything that Peter had ever heard about before. Jesus was consistent in his teaching, whether he's talking to a group of children, a rich young ruler, a tax collector, a bunch of fishermen, to men or to women. Jesus' teachings never changed. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." John chapter 5 and verse 24. Remember this morning. If this pastor or any pastor or Bible teacher is from God, they will be consistent as well. If a message is preached in America, then that same message will also preach in India, the Philippines, Czech Republic, and even at the Vatican. If a message only preaches in America, then it's not a message from God. Because God's message, God's word, is consistent. When it comes to the doctrine of salvation, it doesn't vary to accommodate Muslims. It doesn't differ to please that unsaved friend in your life that you would do anything to bring to Christ. Salvation never departs from the Bible when it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Jesus' teachings cannot be considered to be equal with any other teachings. Jesus said, not only am I a source of truth, Jesus even went further. He said, "I am truth. I am the truth," Jesus said. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, "You know what, Pastor? I just don't like that narrow way to God. I believe there's more than one way to God." Then I would ask you, to whom will you go? Allah, who says you have to perform according to the Quran to get into heaven? Buddha, who didn't even believe in God himself? Become a Muslim who gives you 330 million gods to choose from? Or find a religion that pleases you, a religion that you can choose your own way to God. But maybe you're here this morning and your heart is crying out and you're saying to God, "I don't like what's going on in my life right now." And I would ask you, to whom going to go? Are you the one that runs to medication when life gets tough? Or maybe your drug of choice is alcohol? Do you turn to self-help groups, counselors that don't use the Bible, or friends that don't point you to Christ? Peter said, "Jesus, who else can I go to but you?" Maybe you are someone that has taken a lot of different flavors from different religions. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it's only Jesus who gives us the words of eternal life. For those of you are here this morning that know that truth. You know the truth like Peter did. You've experienced eternal life. You have seen or have experienced miracles. For you that believe in the consistency of the Word of God, can I ask you this morning, what are you doing with it? Oh, how I wish I had the cure for cancer. I would run to Kristen and Ernie's house as fast as I could to give them that cure. There's some of you here this morning that have experienced the words of eternal life. You know the cure for sin and death, yet you're doing nothing with it. Oh, no doubt about it, Peter was impetuous. Peter had his faults and shortcomings. But Peter was smart enough to know that Jesus had the words of eternal life. That Jesus was God. And Peter was smart enough to know that there was no other place to go. May you and I be so smart. And may we not keep the good news to ourselves. What is your favorite flavor? Like every other god, and I use God with small g, like every other god in human history, Jesus died. But unlike every other god in human history, Jesus rose from the dead. And it's because of these two events, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, that Jesus can guarantee us eternal life.